shifting gears a little bit to trade, international trade, you know, thinking about this whole Cuba embargo and the potential of lifting of the embargo that's been in place for so long, kind of reminds me of a deja vu with the Florida's opinion on that versus agriculturally anyway versus, like it was in the NAFTA days. It seemed like Florida agriculture was the only odd man out in the nation of saying, wait a minute, guys, we've got a winter industry, and because of our climates, we have a lot to lose here. But I guess we always raise eyebrows when we bring up those kind of issues and say, hey, we don't necessarily agree with the way that seems like everybody else wants to go.
Well, there's no question that NAFTA was an agreement where Florida agriculture was substantially sacrificed on the altar of free trade, and while the cumulative benefits of it to the nation were positive, it came at substantial expense to Florida farmers. The agreement that's under consideration now, and it's in a state of flux in Congress as well, and whether the President and Congress will be able to move forward and conclude a Pacific trade agreement. The big difference there is that when you're talking about a lot of these Asian countries, they have an affluent and highly developed middle class who can afford the quality products that we produce. And there's less downside of them flooding the market with ag products that compete directly with us. So the alarm bells aren't the same for a Pacific agreement as they were and continue to be with NAFTA. There is an opportunity in certain commodities to play offense. And there's less downside in terms of playing defense in preparation for cheap imports. The same would be true of an agreement with the EU. You're talking about a long-established market, affluent consumers who we've spent a long time building a market for, and we could tear down some of the tariff barriers that make our products prohibitively expensive in those areas. But we need to take every trade agreement one at a time. Details matter. We need them to be wisely negotiated, and we need them to be enforced. And my frustration with previous agreements is as much with lack of enforcement as it is with the substance of the agreement itself. In many cases, protections were built in to the agreement that have been largely ignored by our U.S. Trade Office.
Trade Promotion Authority, we're seeing a lot of TV ads running this summer about, tell your congressman to, pass Trade Promotion Authority for the president, I guess, to be able to, and his staff, to the trade negotiators, to move these things forward where it gets an up or down vote in Congress. Again, you've been on that side of the hall in the congressional realm. What's your feeling on that?
Well, the chances are 50-50 or less that Congress will support Trade Promotion Authority for the president. There have been a lot of concerns about a lack of transparency in what they're negotiating. There have been a number of members of Congress who aren't pleased with the level of detail that they've been given access to on what an agreement like that would say. And so it's difficult to go out on a limb and give the president that authority if you don't have a high level of confidence that you're going to be privy to the details of the agreement and that you're going to have access to it before it's a done deal. So Trade Promotion Authority votes typically are tough votes, and they give the Florida delegation one of the best opportunities to have the White House's attention about our trade sensitivities. And frequently, Trade Promotion Authority votes are where we have banded together as a state and insisted on certain protections being built into any future agreement that's negotiated.